You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, a credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. This was supposed to be a very different episode. It was supposed to be recapping a back-to-back stretch for the Miami Heat, who played a game on Saturday against the Washington Wizards, came out there with a victory in an ugly win that I'll talk about a little bit later on the show. And then on Sunday evening, they were supposed to be playing the Boston Celtics. But around 4 o'clock on Sunday, 4 o'clock Eastern time, they announced that that game would actually be postponed. We'd heard that Avery Bradley was going to be sitting out tonight's game due to COVID testing and COVID-related protocols. Safety and health protocols, I believe, is how they were officially listed. But then shortly after that, around, again, 4 o'clock, it seems like the Miami Heat had had a number of players either test positively or because of some contact tracing would not be able to field the minimum number of players in order to play tonight's game. So tonight's game actually postponed. So we're not quite sure what happened. The Heat have not released an official statement. There have been reports from Shams Charania of The Athletic and Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. Basically, they've been contact tracing there. They're not quite sure exactly what the situation is, whether or not there's going to be an inconclusive test or if anybody has tested positive. They're trying to be as cautious as possible. And the Celtics were actually likely to have a minimum number of players available themselves. They actually listed, I believe, 9 total players. They have a 17-man roster. 9 players were all going to be out on Sunday's game, and it seemed like they were going to be the ones likely unable to field the minimum requirement. But instead, Miami now, because of their contract tracing, because of the protocols in place, they did not have enough players to go and actually play on Sunday's game. So that's postponed. No ruling yet. Again, if you remember back to many months ago when the season before it even started, when the schedule release took place, they released the first half of the 2020-2021 schedule, knowing that after the All-Star break, even though there will be no All-Star game, then they can kind of rearrange the schedule, determine exactly when they can make up these games, knowing full well that these games were going to have to be made up, that some team was going to have to be making up some number of games. And so far, it's the second postponement of the season. The first, right around the opening of the season, when the Oklahoma City Thunder-Houston Rockets game was postponed because James Harden and other players had been sitting out due to, again, contact tracing, COVID protocols, and things of that sort. So it hasn't exactly been a good weekend for the Miami Heat or for the NBA. Unfortunately, they had a number of players test positively or sit out due to COVID testing protocols and spacing and everything else related to this incredible virus. And it seems like players were dropping left and right here and there. The Washington Wizards have been unfairly blamed for being carriers themselves. They played a team over the week, and then they sat out players. The Dallas Mavericks, I believe, sat out some players. Then they played the Celtics, and Jason Tatum had to be sitting out. He wasn't even going to be available for Sunday's game, even prior to the other players that were listed as out. And then, of course, Miami played Washington on Saturday, and now they, too, are going to be sitting out to tonight's game postponed. So it's just, I'm not sure exactly what the process is. I don't think that's ever been quite made clear. That could take a number of days to figure out. I'll say that Miami has an upcoming game on Tuesday against the Philadelphia 76ers, who too have also been sitting out a number of players over the weekend because of concerns related to COVID. And so I'm not even sure if that game's going to be played out at this point. It's not like I'm trying to be rash here or come up haphazardly suggesting that maybe that game is going to be canceled, but that the reality is that we're not sure exactly what's going to happen on either side of the things, whether Miami is going to have enough players available, whether Philadelphia is going to have enough players. And I think that's why the Heat have been hesitant to release any kind of official statement, because they just don't know enough. And they kind of have to figure their way through this. And so it's an uncomfortable situation for everybody. And I mentioned this via Twitter. I don't know that there's anything else that you can do right now other than to just hope that nobody gets sick, to a great degree. I think we're all at a point societally and perhaps even globally where we kind of disregard the importance of this disease. And I don't mean to minimize it for anybody who's listening who might have had somebody impacted or affected negatively or perhaps even worse. I hope that's not how I'm coming across. First and foremost, I'm not taking this lightly. But I feel that we've also, en masse, generally, tend to just said, look, we cannot live the life that we were living, say, in mid-March or early April, when we were perhaps very strict, and rightfully so, and probably should have maintained that level of strictness. Instead, there are people going out to places not wearing masks, sitting around on tables, you know, doing the kinds of things that, you know, society was doing prior to the widespread of COVID in mid-March. And so this is just a very uncomfortable and terrible time for the world, because now, you know, the NBA was supposed to be, I don't know, COVID-free. If that's not necessarily realistic, but I think we all looked at the success of the NBA bubble and assumed that it would be able to be duplicated. I myself had doubts. The bubble worked because it was a bubble, because they were able to prevent. Remember when I had Ben Golliver of the Washington Post on the show a couple times during the Orlando bubble, but specifically right as he entered the bubble. He was there in quarantine in his hotel room before he was even allowed at the Disney Resort, where he was going to be staying for the next 3 months. And by the way, Golliver, writing a book, just submitted a final version of the manuscript called Bubble Ball regarding that. I am going to pre-order the hell out of that book. And I think all of you should as well, because I think it's fascinating. Nobody had the kind of access that Ben did. Very few reporters stayed inside the bubble for as long as he did. And I don't know that anybody could write the story of what happened in the Orlando bubble as well as Ben did. So anyway, that's a plug for him, because I think he deserves it. Great guy. Hell of a writer. Hell of a reporter. And I'm sure that book is going to be very fascinating and interesting. So that's my two cents about that. But one of the things that he mentioned when he was on my show was, you know, how strict the policies were. You came in, you were tested immediately, you were rushed to a hotel, shuttled with masks, gloves, the whole nine yards. You were, you know, thrown food in your hotel room, basically. Nobody interacted with you, no personal interaction. You were a bracelet that monitored everything. That's been more or less suspended. You know, as a society, again, we've allowed fans into arenas. Players are testing, are traveling regularly. There's more interaction. It's just, it's impossible to recreate the success of the bubble. And so we're going to have, I think, unfortunately, more and more of these cases over the course of the rest of the season, for however long that lasts. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how to move forward addressing it, but I will. I will continue talking about what the implications of this are and what happens next. And again, I'll also talk a little bit about the Wizards win. I was supposed to be, my plan was to recap both the Wizards game and the Boston Celtics game to kind of provide an overview of the weekend where Miami stands, because although I did that last week when I had Jack Alfonso of Miami Heat on the episode, I wanted to go a little deeper, because I don't think these two games were supposed to be, at least in my mind, a barometer of where the Heat stand, a litmus test about where they are in the season. And I'm not sure with Sunday's cancellation or postponement, I don't know that we can accurately gauge where they are. But I also am reading the room regarding Heat Twitter and how the fans are reacting to the season, and it's been somewhat disappointing. So I wanted to kind of give an overview to show a little bit about, you know, where the Heat stand and what I think about the team moving forward. That's what was my plan. It was going to be a two-part episode, again, recapping the Wizards win and hopefully a win over the Celtics. Unfortunately, that's not taking place. So this is kind of just on the fly, trying to cover the news as much as I possibly can without any actual news to be reported or any kind of actual information. But I'll do my best to provide my two cents. And I will get into a little bit about where the Heat stand as far as this season is concerned and moving forward. So stay tuned here on Locked On Heat. Look, everybody's got a lot going on. There's no denying that. And it's not to minimize this in any way, shape, or form, but we all have to eat. We all want to indulge occasionally on a treat. And that's why Built Bar is such a great option. Let me tell you, it's delicious. It's the best tasting protein bar ever. Best tasting protein bar I've ever had, that's for sure. And it's even better now than a previous version, which I never got a chance to taste. But this one, has 18 amazing flavors, and you'll want to try all of them. Believe me, you can mix and match them. Build your own box. I think that's such a great feature where you can just add different bars here and there and add the ones that you want. My wife likes different flavors than I do. Other family members like different flavors, and you can just build a box to satisfy everybody. They're all 100% covered in chocolate, and they're all soft and easy to chew. You don't even know you're eating a protein bar, but they are. They're healthy. They're great for health-conscious people, and if you're looking to maintain weight, or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat, then Built Bars are the ones for you. And let me tell you, if you go right now to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your next order. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, get daily picks and quick-hitting advice from experts to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. So what happens next? What happened? Period. Maybe that's the bigger question to answer or to ask. And I think a lot of Heat fans, from what I saw last night, and I'm recording this on a Sunday evening, just a couple hours after the news broke, regarding the postponement of today's game. And we had started to see the Wizards interact with the Mavericks players, where a number of players had to sit out due to contact tracing, where the Sixers had to sit out players. And so it's easy to just look at the Wizards and say, well, they're carriers. Somebody on that team is a carrier, whether they know it or not. And I feel like that's both a little unfair and unrealistic, considering that, you know, they are going through regular testing, and maybe there were mistakes. And I don't think anybody knows enough about the testing policy and how it's being carried out through the NBA. We've also heard a number of reports from ESPN writers. I want to say Baxter Holmes of ESPN wrote something recently regarding how the teams, individual teams, testing and how they've had to kind of adjust this. You know, think about it from this perspective. You know, a year ago, nobody knew anything about COVID, really, and it didn't really exist. And they haven't, even after a year, been able to really make the necessary adjustments to accommodate the typical, you know, restrictions and the typical demands that something as important as this carry. And that's, you know, how to negotiate travel, how to ensure that everybody stays locked in their room, how to make sure that you're conducting testing regularly. And I mean, it's a heartache, a headache, and so much has gone on, and you're already starting to hear that staffs around the league feel overworked and unprepared for the magnitude of the season. And to the Heat's credit, they haven't mentioned anything of that, and Eric Spoelstra has been very, very good about saying, look, our guys have been phenomenal. They've all adjusted really, really well. They've tackled this challenge. They want to accept it. Some of that might be Heat speak, you know, about saying, well, we love running 30-mile marathons because they're so much fun. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. Again, you'd have to talk to the Ferrans of the Heat organization who are running this whole process, and maybe they're handling it better. But right now, it does not necessarily seem like it's an easy job, regardless of whether or not they embrace the challenge, whether or not they appreciate it, whether or not they're handling it well. It cannot be an easy job, and I am sure that they are more than overwhelmed by everything that's taken place. But they couldn't have canceled the game. They couldn't have just arbitrarily said, we don't feel comfortable playing the Wizards because there may or may not be a potential situation there. So it's not like that was an option. The NBA and the NBA Players Association, when they renegotiated the collective bargaining agreement so that they could begin this season, didn't allow for a team to just arbitrarily say, today's not my day. I don't feel like playing, because that could be a situation where you could manipulate it greatly so that if an injury happens and you want a key win, then all of a sudden you could, I don't know, fudge a report here and there and say, maybe this player is going through something that I doesn't necessarily stand out, and I have to sit him down. I can't play him today. And if that's the case, maybe we'll wait until X player returns from health, and then all of a sudden we'll be able to handle this matchup. So they have to field a certain number of players. That much is asserted. But it takes a lot for those players to be listed as out. And, of course, you have the injury reports. Now, conversely, you've got reports in Brooklyn of Kyrie Irving sitting out the past three games for personal reasons. Those personal reasons seems to be one, that he is very upset about the situation that took place last week in the nation's capital, and also some concerns about COVID. At least those were the initial reports. From what we understood, Kyrie didn't feel comfortable playing the night of the insurrection in Washington, D.C., and felt like that might have been, I don't know, a distraction from the overall issues that are impacting not just the league, but the country in general. And I believe there's some truth to that. Like, it's hard. I don't want to turn this into Locked On Kyrie Irving, although it's an interesting subject nonetheless. I feel like Kyrie is not just a provocateur, as he's been cast by many people. Like, a lot of people tend to think that Kyrie is a troublesome, problematic, player who offers his opinion. Some other people have said he pretends to be a lot more woke and aware than he actually is. I do feel like, first of all, it's difficult to have any conversation about Kyrie without Kyrie offering any opinion. And the opinions that he does generally, I have to say, are pretty well thought out. Now, is there an element there of maybe he's overthinking things? Possibly. Is he a joke? No, I don't think he is. He's a human being that has the right to have these kinds of thoughts. And perhaps the league is a little bit more regimented and they don't necessarily handle these individuals, these individualists as well. Nonconformists, maybe that's the right word here. I feel like Kyrie certainly fits into that. But as far as the Heat are concerned, they couldn't have canceled the game against the Washington Wizards. They just had to find a way to play it through. They couldn't postpone it. And so they just have to find a way to field a number of players. And they did that. And then, unfortunately, you're going to have much more situations like what we're happening on Sunday as far as the postponement. I can't say that's the Wizards' fault. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I don't think it's anybody in the Heat organization's fault. Mistakes happen. Things will happen. The situation is uncontrollable. You cannot predict how this is going to impact your team. And I feel like this is where the allowances in the schedule have been made in place where you can have this postponement. And whether it screws things up for the Heat down the road, well, who's to say? You know, it was going to be a probably an easier win for Miami considering Tatum and a number of players was going to be out. And unfortunately, they don't get to capitalize on that advantage. They'll have to find a rematch down the road. And look, I mean, from the Heat's perspective, assuming every player turns out okay and there are no long-term health issues or anything of that sort, they would all say to a man that they appreciate fielding a better team and taking on a full Celtics team at 100% because that's a better challenge and they could actually gauge where they are as far as the level of play and things of that sort, because there are concerns about where this Heat team are and how they stack up against the rest of the Eastern Conference and the rest of the league, because they just have not been playing very well. Maybe this was a game where they could have found their identity, because I do feel like that's a big concern for this team moving forward, is that they just seem somewhat rudderless. They're just not sure exactly of where they stand and who they want to be and where they want, how they want to play. There are lots of questions about this team. And as far as to kind of put a bow on the COVID situation, like, I don't have any. A lot of people are pissed off at the league and saying, why didn't you just recreate the bubble? There were so many factors there. You know, individual teams wanted to ensure that they could have some process for making money. You're seeing the Rockets, the Tampa Bay Raptors, the Orlando Magic allow fans into their arenas. I think it was going to be more and more. I think they've suspended that overall. I want to say most teams have realized that's probably a little bit dangerous for not just the fans, but also for their players. I don't know that owners really care one way or the other, honestly. I mean, we're talking about billionaires by and large. They're not going to have the same kind of concerns. They're not going to be there. They're not going to be rubbing elbows with people, nor are they going to be interacting with players or fans to the same degree. So I think it's a very hypocritical stance for owners to say, well, we can allow people in. Let's try and make a little money. I don't even know how much money they're able to generate from all this. I don't know if concessions are open. I would sincerely doubt it. They always wanted to move forward with this accelerated pace to try and get as much money generated as possible. The Christmas Day games, while most of them were a bomb because most of them were blowouts, I think it was still the beginning of the NBA season, at least from a wider audience. People listening to this show probably were watching basketball in October or November. They didn't have to wait for the Christmas Day games. But overall, I think most Americans probably watch Christmas Day games a little bit more the same way some peripheral fans watch football, in the Super Bowl game, or watch football on Thanksgiving. You're stuck on the TV. You're stuck at home with family, at least maybe not this year, but in other past years. And so you watch what's on TV, and that happened to be NBA games. So that was always one thing. They had a good plan in place. Was it too rushed? Absolutely. They couldn't have done anything else. it wasn't realistic to think, well, let's just cancel the season. I don't think you'll find anybody more open to criticizing large organizations or billionaires or establishments more than I will. But I also think it's ridiculously unrealistic to hold the NBA hostage and say, forget it, scrap the season. Now, I would have loved for them to have been able to say, let's just take money from these billionaires, distribute it to the to the employees of the arenas, to distribute it to the players, to make sure that they all get paid. But I don't think that's going to happen either. The NBA has to take care of its own. Adam Silver and the front office, league offices, have to ensure that their owners, their governors, excuse me, are well taken care of, which is why this pace was so accelerated, which is why they wanted to get teams in there as quickly as possible. Now, the other conversation I've heard is, why isn't there a bubble? You could not have had a bubble for so long a period of time. So I think that is, they would have loved the idea of it, but the bubble also costs a lot of money. Not that the NBA can't afford it. They're a huge organization with lots of money at stake here and available to themselves to pay for whatever resources they need to. But it's also an expensive, unrealistic approach because you cannot keep 30 teams with 30 different traveling parties in any kind of bubble. You could not have prevented the kind of in and out access. There would have had to have been travel. So first of all, again, owners wanted fans in their arenas. Owners wanted the right to have their teams in their hometowns. And then secondly, the bubble as an extension of that would not have worked because you just couldn't have contained that many teams. You had 18 teams in the Orlando bubble. That felt like too many already. It was the Elite Eight. The Delete Eight, was it that was being called? There was 22 teams out of 30. So either way, too many. And of course, those teams were winnowed out towards the end there as the playoffs kept progressing. The bubble was never a realistic option. They discussed it, dismissed it almost immediately. I've heard talks about regional bubbles where you reduce travel. It's still not a bubble. And I don't think it was realistic, again, to just try and recreate the situation. I hope that if we're still there months down the road, that they'll recreate the playoffs because it works so well. I don't know how it's going to work again, but my feeling would be that they would want to try it because you don't want to have a major diagnosis or a major COVID issue outbreak stop the flow of the playoffs, because the product that we saw last year at the end of last season was so successful that I think you'd want to be able to recreate that if necessary. And I feel like that's the truth is that you're going to have to recreate it because I don't think vaccines are going to be available to the large public for many, many months, and certainly not to NBA players. Now, I've also heard some discussion regarding whether or not NBA players should get the vaccine ahead of others. There's also been some discussions about vaccines being just wasted and going to waste because they have not been distributed to the same well, because they're being very careful in who gets them and how, and so they're just basically going unused and being wasted. So to that, I will say I don't really care. I would love for senior citizens and the young and, for healthcare workers to get vaccinated first and foremost. But barring that, if that's not being handled properly, if somehow the NBA could get their hands on 600, 700 doses, that's fine with me. I wouldn't mind that. Although I don't know that it's necessarily 100% foolproof. They'll still have to go through some concerns and some restrictions regarding COVID. But that's a whole other conversation. So, let's put a pin on the whole COVID discussion because I don't know what to do next. Honestly, I the more I think about this, it's going to keep happening. You're going to have another outbreak at some point. Maybe it's going to be contained. You try to do everything you can from a team and a league-wide perspective, but at some point, some player is going to catch it. I wondered that before the start of the season. I wondered that before the start of this two-game set over the weekend. Even as we're seeing more and more news pop out, I was thinking to myself, man, the Heat have been the only team that haven't had any issues so far this season. And of course, maybe I jinxed it, but it felt like only a matter of time, unfortunately. But I will get into basketball and more basketball-related topics in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. With the NFL playoffs, the NBA season moving forward, if you're looking for a place that has you covered and the one place that we trust as a network, go to betonline.ag, make a little money, sign up today for a free account and betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Who wants to make a little money? I think all of us do at this point in time. And again, there's so much going around. There's college football still. There's the NFL playoffs. And then, of course, the NBA also playing out. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. A reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. What can I say about Saturday's game against the Washington Wizards? A 128-124 victory that evened up Miami's record at 4-4. It was a road game. It was an ugly game. It was ugly in the beginning, ugly at the end, was sandwiching some respectable level of play. I can't even call it good. Offensively, really powerful shooting for Miami. They looked really impressive. Wound up shooting just 37% from three-point range, but that was a lot hotter early on. Wound up tapering in the second half to some degree, shooting 50% overall from the field. You know, Washington was without Bradley Beal, also without Russell Westbrook. Not through anything related to COVID, but I think it was just more injury issues. I think Beal might have been sitting out due to contact tracing. It's hard to keep track of all these things, and I don't know that necessarily matters. And then, unfortunately, Washington lost another starter within the first couple of minutes of play when Thomas Bryant wound up coming down awkwardly. His left knee, just a gruesome injury, bent in a way it should not, and wound up suffering an ACL tear and is out for the season. So that's really, really unfortunate, first and foremost, as far as just a human being who suffered a great injury. Hopefully he's young. He'll come back and make a full recovery there. But a blow to a team that's looking for some answers because Washington has struggled, even as they're trying to incorporate Westbrook. I guess the cynic in me, maybe the more hard-nosed fan, would just say, well, does that mean that Beal's not going to be on the trading block? Maybe. I don't know. I can't see. They've kind of made their bed here by acquiring Westbrook and trading Wall, who looks like he's the better of the two options right now. Maybe it's a wash to some degree, but Beal, I don't know that they're necessarily going to shop him. And as I talked about this with James Harden too, while Beal might be the better fit as far as a guy you could seamlessly add to this roster, I also think that the price tag would going to be incredible for an acquisition of that type. Yes, certainly you're going to have to throw in Hero and Olynyk and Iguodala and all the other salary quote-unquote filler. And I hate marginalizing human beings to talk about them as trade pieces or trade assets, but this is the world we live in regarding the NBA. If you're going to make an acquisition for a player like Bradley Beal, then it's going to cost a lot. You know, I saw the point being made that maybe considering everything that's going on with COVID, you don't want to necessarily trade away a chunk of your depth in order to acquire a superstar player. It's hard to predict exactly whether or not how that would work out, whether or not it's better to have 10 good players versus three really, really good players and four okay ones. That's a tough equation, and I don't think there's any answers there. I think overall you still want to have talent. You know, even regardless of COVID or not, playoff rotations shorten, and I think that you still want to have as much talented as possible in that 7-8-9-man rotation, however deep you're going. But as far as the Heat overall, just an ugly game. Wound up struggling. They're struggling defensively, and it's an interesting issue because, first and foremost, I think the point of having an identity is a really interesting one with this team because I've mentioned before the loss of Jake Crowder has really rocked where this team stands. They're not quite sure. They're also testing Tyler Hero. They're pushing him, trying to see whether or not he's capable of stepping up, whether or not he's going to respond. And he did. He had a huge game, a regular season, a season high of 31 points against the Wizards, 12 of 20 overall from the field, despite just going 1 of 5 from the line, able to get to the free throw line 8 times, also chipped in 9 rebounds. His rebounding continues to impress. He was looking for his shot a little bit more aggressively, but it was falling, and he looked really competent as a scorer because I know a lot of people have been critical about him. And I think this is by design. I think the Heat are throwing him into the fire to test him. him a little bit to see whether or not he's able to respond, because these reps are going to be important for him moving forward as a lead ball handler, or as a ball handler who's capable of stepping up on occasion and understanding where the ebbs and flows of a game are, how to manage a game a little bit more efficiently. I'm not sure that he's there. I think he's gotten a lot of unfair criticism, but I also feel like the team is aware that he's going to struggle through this to some degree because he's 20 years old, because he's in his second year, because he's not a natural point guard. For all of these factors, they still want to push him to challenge him a little bit. They're big on inserting a little bit of chaos here and there for the purpose of having you rebuild yourself and kind of become a new, better version of you. They have to tear you down in order to build you back up, a new and improved version of who you are. I think this is the Heat policy on lots of players and why it's not for everybody. But as far as Hero is concerned, good, solid game from him. I think we're going to continue to see more issues from him defensively. He's going to have to find a way to respond. And according to Eric Spoelstra, post-game in a presser with media, he told us that he feels that Hero is making some improvements, that he's making the right reads, that he's understanding exactly how to control the flow of the offense. I don't know. Spo also said that there wasn't anything regarding schematics or rotations or player personnel, that we just have to do things harder, that we have to try harder and do things better. That seems so oversimplistic, you know, to just give more effort, and that's going to help your defense. It's going to keep a team without Beal and Westbrook from shooting 38% from three-point range, to keep a Garrison Matthews from going off for 22 points. You know, it's hard to say exactly how, for Spo, yes, effort is always going to be a huge part of the equation, but you also have to figure out ways of doing things better and figuring out rotations that work better. And I think he's trying to go for this starting lineup and trying to see whether or not Hero can respond. As far as Olynyk is concerned, Kelly Olynyk wound up getting the start again. Solid overall game from him. 4 of 11 from three-point range, 7 of 15 from the field, 18 total points. So I think he is going to be the solution moving forward. You kind of just test him defensively, see whether or not he responds. He wasn't matched up against Rui Hachimura as much as I would have liked, but I think it was still a pretty decent game from Olynyk overall. Defensively, he did some decent things, and he still provides that outside shooting that you know is going to be counted on from occasion. So he's a great passer. He's a solid playmaker. But the overall identity is still something that this Heat team is struggling with, and I don't know that they're going to be able to resolve it very quickly. Because, again, if they're talking about having to improve defensively and having to just give more effort, that seems like they're expecting more internal development and for things to all of a sudden click. Now, there's no issue as far as chemistry or camaraderie. I think maybe there are some concerns there regarding Hero and his role as far as the team is concerned. I've seen some interaction from players where they kind of, I think they're a little doubtful about whether or not Hero is going to be able to respond the way he should. But overall, I think they're very supportive of that group internally, and I think they believe that they can find a way to turn this around. Now, again, from a team-wide perspective, however, they're not shooting particularly well. They're not getting to the line particularly well. They're not playing their offense particularly well. That seems like it's more discombobulated than their defense. I'd say you could work on both, obviously, but offensively, and this was something we saw last year, they weren't particularly great defensively. They were middle of the pack, more or less. But offensively, they were great. They were shooting better than ever. And I think not having Tyler Hero shoot as well as he has, Duncan, a quiet night for him, just 7 points overall. So I think I don't think he's necessarily plateaued, but I think he is just struggling a little bit more because of the Hero situation, because I think it's a little difficult for him to find his spots as easily with Tyler Hero running the point. I don't know. I think they're not able to score as easily and as well as they have in the past, and if that's the case, I think that's where you need to kind of lean a little bit more. I know from the Heat perspective, you always say we need to tighten our defense. Jimmy Butler said so as well. We need to figure out a way to get some stops. You also need to find a way to get some scores too, because unfortunately you're not going to be able to beat up on teams like this. You're not going to be able to get these kinds of scores as easily. Look, this is a depleted Washington Wizards team that was already porous enough as it was, and you barely eked out a victory over them. So offensively, I think needs to be the focus moving forward. we'll see what happens. I mean, it's so much is up in the air with this season right now. We're not sure when the next game is. Again, theoretically, it's going to be on Tuesday against the Philadelphia 76ers, but that seems in jeopardy at this point. So I'll keep you posted as best as I can. Whenever I know anything, you'll know anything, and I'll do my best to offer a little insight on what's happening and how we can all appreciate this NBA season, because it's going to be a challenge for all of us. I'd love to say that I've got some recaps down the week that you should be listening for and checking out, but doesn't seem as likely right now as it did earlier in the day. But thank you for listening. Thank you so much for staying tuned to Locked On Heat. I'm David Ramil signing off, and thanking you again for your support.